You are now listening to the Post-Pandemic Church Podcast with your host, D. Brandon Campbell. That would be me. I am D. Brandon Campbell. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to contact us at christianpreneurco@gmail.com. That's christianpreneurco@gmail.com. Or hit us up on our new website, christianpreneurco.com. That's christianpreneurco.com. Hey, it's D. Brandon Campbell, and I'm so excited to have you joining me on today for the Post-Pandemic Church Podcast. It's so great to have you listening today. I hope that you are a pastor or a church leader who wants some information, who wants some thoughts and ideas around how to improve some things in the post-pandemic church. The post-pandemic church will be the most critical church to date. If we do this right, we can win hearts and souls all over the world to the body of Christ. So I hope you will continue listening to our podcast and getting some ideas on how to make improvements in your ministry. Today, I want to talk to you from the topic change needed. There is a change needed in the post-pandemic church, and you are going to have to be honest with yourself and look at your church, examine what's working, what's not working, and make some changes. There are some things that worked 10 years ago, 20 years ago when you implemented them that are not going to work right now. And if you're not going to be honest with yourself before the pandemic is over and you come back with the same ideals and the same concepts and the same mechanisms, then you're going to find that your people, some of them will get bored. So you're going to have to make some changes and do some things differently if you want to, A, keep people's attention and B, make people excited again about being a part of the body of Christ and your church in particular. So if you're going to be successful after this whole pandemic is over, you're going to have to make sure that you are examining what's working and not working in your church and make some changes. So if you are a pastor or you're a church leader and you're listening to this podcast, I want you to start being honest with yourself. What is it about your church that might need to change? You need to pray about it. You need to think about it, and you need to make some changes. I have a friend here in Chicago, Pastor Curtis Hill, whose church over the pandemic has made major improvements and has done some amazing things with his ministry. And his church, one of the major changes that he made was they used to be called Abundant Rain Ministries. He was talking to me and a couple other pastors and thinking about changing the name of his church. And we went, him and I discussed a few names back and forth, and I voted for a different name. I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. I voted for a different name, but he decided to go with the name that the Holy Spirit was leading him with to go with, and he decided to change the name of their church to Impact Church. And so they went from Abundant Rain to Impact Church. And what is the difference between the two? What's in a name? See, I remember when I met him and he had Abundant Rain Ministries. It says something about the type of church that it is. It says something about who is pastoring the church. It says something about those who would like to come to the church. And so I remember Abundant Rain Ministries. It was a powerful name, and it's a great thing to have abundance of rain, right? If we want God to bless our crops, if we want God to bless our finances, we want him to rain down upon us, and we want it to be abundant. We want it to be more than enough. And so to ask God to bless us with his blessings and to rain down on us in an abundant way is a great thing. And so to have a church named Abundant Rain is wonderful. Now, what is Abundant Rain about, though? And so we didn't discuss this part. This is just me talking to you. It's a one-on-one conversation. So Abundant Rain is really about inside the house. It's about those who are in the house receiving the blessings and the power and all the stuff that comes along with the reign of God. And so it's about inside the house. But when he changed the name of the church to Impact Church, it's because his church has always been focused on bringing the lost to Christ. He wants to make an impact in the community. And so I believe he changed the name, even though I voted against it. I had another name that I thought was hot, but he didn't go with that. And that's okay. I know why he chose Impact Church, because that has always been his goal. I remember we went into the community, just him and I, and we went and did outreach together. We went and passed out some flyers inviting people to church, and we had some popcorn. And so we had a little bag of popcorn and some flyers. And the flyer said, pop in and see us sometime. And I just thought that was the coolest outreach idea ever. It was just a flyer and some popcorn. A box of popcorn cost $1.50. And we just put them together and said, hey, pop in and see us sometime. And we went by people's houses and walked the neighborhoods, walked about 7 or 8 blocks and just passed out some flyers and some popcorn and said, hey, pop in and see us sometime. And I thought it was just great. And they were coming in to be a part of the Abundant Rain. But now that it's Impact Church, it's not just inviting you to come to church, but we want to have an impact in the community. That's not a change. It wasn't a change because they've always wanted to have an impact in the community, but the change was now reflected in the name. There was something different that this church was going to be doing and focusing on when it comes to just even the name. We're not focused on the rain in the house. We're focused on making an impact in the community. Why? Because God has already reigned in the house. And so you're going to have to look at things, even the name of your church. I know that could be a hassle because of the paperwork and, you know, people are used to calling you something, but is your church name stale? Is it saying something about your church that is not true? When I lived in California, I was under Pastor Bishop Noel Jones, and he said that his church had a name that meant something that he didn't agree with. And when he looked it up, he realized that they were walking around calling themselves something that was not positive because of the name of the church. And so he changed the name to the City of Refuge. And I didn't even know that was biblical until I went to the church. I just thought it was a great name and found out that there were cities of refuge in the Old Testament where people who had committed certain crimes could go and, you know, not have to face capital punishment. And so I was like, wow, that's amazing. And he felt like the City of Refuge was a perfect name for people to come who are full of guilt and full of pain and hurt from their past. They can come here and be in refuge and not have to face the consequences of the past because they're now becoming a new creature in Christ. Wow. The name means a lot. And so sometimes when making changes, the smallest little thing like the name, well, I think that's actually a big thing, but even little things can make a huge impact. And you've got to examine where in your church do you need to make some changes so that you can have a greater impact. Shout out to Impact Church in Chicago, Illinois. Listen, we're going to take a quick break and be right back. Hey, I have two amazing churches for you to check out online. United Worship Center with Bishop Michael Thurston. You will love the traditional, powerful word that is coming from this broadcast. And if you're in the Chicagoland area, you definitely need to go by and check out the United Worship Center South. You will love this ministry. Also, check out Victorious Christian Deliverance Center with Pastor Jermaine Stearns. That is an amazing man of God. You will hear a practical and powerful word coming from this church. And listen, they also have a clothing brand that's attached to their church and their pastor. I think you'll love it. Check them out online and let them know that BCAM sent you. All right, we are back. So we're talking about change needed. And we talked about even making changes possibly to the name of your church. If it's stale, if it's grown old, it might be time to make some changes. Now, everybody doesn't need to change the name of their church. Some of your church names are historical and they've been there for 100 years. Listen, I'm not saying you need to go from New Macedonia, you know, now calling it a worship church. No, you don't need to do all that. Sometimes it's just good to give something new to the people, especially in this post-pandemic church. There's going to be a lot of people who need some recharging. They're going to need a boost to get back into church and get used to it again and make it a part of their lives. So for so long, we've been creating consumers of Christianity, people who just come in and purchase the Christian product and listen to the Christian word and listen to the Christian music, but they don't become Christians. They don't become believers. They're not actual disciples of Jesus Christ. And that is the church's purpose, is to turn the world into disciples of Jesus Christ. One of the scriptures of the day from the Bible app was Matthew 28:19, and that's the Great Commission, to go out into the world and to make believers of all of those people that we come in contact with. And our job, our goal as the church, is to empty out hell and make people believe in the Jesus that we believe in by showing them the love of God and giving them the word of God. And that will have a major impact in their lives. And it will change people and make them want to be a part of our church and make them want to be a part of the body of Christ. And so many of us, we have some stale ideas, some stale concepts, some things that we've been doing for 20 or 30 years. Sometimes change is needed. You remember just 20 or 30 years ago when most churches did what we call devotion. Devotion was generally led by deacons. For those who don't know what devotion is, devotion was led by deacons, and the deacons would get up and start the service with some kind of old school song, and they would start singing that song, and it would be maybe two or three or even five or six deacons up there who would sing, and they would open up the service, and then they would quiet down a little bit, and somebody would read the scripture, and they'd read some, they'd sing some more songs, and another person, they would quiet down, another person would get up and pray, and then they would sing a couple more songs, and then they'd move on in the service. And what an interesting way to start service. I mean, just imagine, you walked into church, and this is what you heard. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No, let me stop. Because some of y'all are probably about to go in right now. You're probably in your car talking about, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. There's nothing wrong with having some tradition. There's nothing wrong with having some old school music. And I'm sorry if you're offended by that, but it is old school. If it's 10, 15, 20, 30 years old, or even older than that, it's old school. But that's okay. It's okay to have our history in there. But your service is not a museum. And everything in your service cannot be older than the people that are in it. You have to make sure that you are bringing something fresh. And Father, I stretch my hand to thee. Listen, it will tear up most churches. Let me tell you that right now, because it is something that we are feeling, especially right now in this pandemic church. But we've got to make sure that we are freshening things up. And so 20 or 30 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, most churches were doing devotions like that. Or they were doing hymnals where they would pull out the little book and they would sing from the book. And it had the words in there and the, you know, the tones and the music notes and all of that, even though most of the church could not read music. And so we would have that, and somebody would be playing the organ, and there was no drums. I mean, it was amazing. And so we've changed now to having praise and worship. And praise and worship was exciting. I remember when I was young and I saw some churches were transitioning from devotion to praise and worship. And I remember there were even some services where they had both. So they would still let the deacons get up and do they Father. And then all of a sudden it was like, now we're doing this exciting praise and worship thing. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know why we need that first part, but this is where it is. This is amazing. And so we had amazing people like Kurt Carr and, you know, Kirk Franklin songs and Hezekiah Walker. And we were singing these upbeat, you know, musical numbers, if you will. And it was just exciting and great. It was something new. And I remember the church fighting with itself about praise and worship. But guess what? It was a necessary change. And I hope we don't change praise and worship no time soon. I don't know what we're going to do next. I don't know if we're going to go all over to video productions now, since the pandemic. But I love praise and worship. I love seeing people get up and just sing and give God glory. And the praise and worship team has become the most skilled singers in the church. And in many churches now, we don't even have the choir anymore. It's just the praise team. Now, I like me a little choir, so I'm going to go ahead and put that out there. And I'm from Chicago, the home of the church choir. I am from the place where we have amazing people like Ricky Dillard and, you know, the such. And this is the city for that. Dexter Walker and, you know, and Zion Movement. I mean, listen, we got some amazing people in Chicago with the choir. So I love the praise team, but I also love the choir. But what changes do you need to make in your music ministry? Ooh, that's a tough one. So you might need to change something with your name, but you might need to change something with your music ministry. If your music ministry does not have the sound of excellence, maybe throughout the time of the pandemic, the time that we have left, you can do some vocal coaching, and you can even do it online. There are some people who will do vocal coaching for your team online. It's not very expensive usually. And you know what? It will add some quality to our services. And we need to make sure that we are offering God and the people some quality. Amen. And so you might need to look at the name of your church. You might need to look at your music or anything in your service. How long is your service? Is it too short? Is it too long? I know too short seems crazy, right? But we can't rush the word of God, and we can't rush being able to teach people how to live for Christ. We just have to make sure that we're using the time wisely and we're teaching people how to become disciples of Christ. And so if we are taking our time and doing that the right way, we need to make sure we have enough time to do that. So don't rush your word. I know we're moving to this 20-minute word, 25-minute word for online. But if you are going to be in person, you can engage the people a little bit more and spend a little bit more time digging a little bit deeper into the word of God. But also make sure you don't have people sitting up in church for 2 hours, 3 hours, and it's just to do a bunch of religiosity. It's just to have a bunch of religious things going on that aren't necessarily bringing people to Christ. Do you really need to have 4 and 5 praise and worship songs, a congregational hymn, a song during the offering, a song after the offering, a song, a sermonic solo, a closing song? I mean, do you need to have all of that? Sometimes you might need to just cut it down to 2 or 3 praise and worship songs and a song before the sermon and get on up out of there. There may be some things necessary that you need to make some changes in your church. And you have to begin to look at those things. Is it the name? Is it the music? Is the service too long? Is there something that we could be doing better or something that we could be doing different? We're going to take one more break and come right back.
Hey, this is Sean Smith, the host of the KLE podcast. I'd like to give you a big invite to come over and listen to our message. It's about kingdom leadership equipping. We're a generation of people equipped in kingdom leadership principles for living and leading. Hey, this is not your ordinary church message. This is a message about a king and his kingdom, about kings and their authority, about you making a difference, having an impact, and being an agent of change. We are covering topics on the KLE related to being the church, functioning as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and living and leading the kingdom in life and in business. Come over and give us a listen. It'll be great to have you there. This is Sean saying God bless you.
All right. We are back. Y'all doing okay? I didn't sing a little bit, and I don't know. I think some of y'all might have rewound that part and went back and went in your car. And I feel like you're now quickening in your spirit. I think that's what's happening. I think you're now doing the holy. Hallelujah. Woo. Listen, y'all calm down. Okay. I know some church, and I know that has sent some of y'all clean in, but change is needed. Change needed is necessary. It's something that we have to begin to look at. So finally, in this segment, we talked about maybe you need to make a change in the name, or I'll even add to that, maybe like your marketing, like how do you present the church to the world? And yes, marketing is a form of evangelism. So you need to make sure that your marketing is on point. And let me just go ahead and put this pin in right now. You need to make sure your marketing looks appealing to people and not just something that makes you happy because of how you're proud of yourself that you were able to learn how to do this on Canva. You need to make sure that it looks presentable and it looks excellent to people. If you do not know how to design, if you don't know how to market, make sure you or whoever is doing it is very clear about how things should look. You don't have to look like you are a mega church, but you definitely need to look professional. It needs to have certain information on your flyers and your programs and the things that you put online. Sometimes I'm seeing these different little, things that we put up and we're not including pertinent information. They need to know the address of your church. They need to know the times, the worship times of your services. They need to know how to get to your website or your Facebook page or your social media or something. There needs to be some way for people to be able to contact you and look you up. There's a study that says 50 to 60% of people who visit a church will look them up online first. So what is your online presence looking like? You might need to make a change and make sure you have some pictures of people on there, not just the pastor and not just the first lady, but there needs to be some pictures pictures of the children and pictures of worship and pictures of people who are doing amazing things. We'll do a episode on marketing coming up very, very soon. But listen, you got to make sure that you have some excellence in your presentation. So how your name is out there in the world makes a difference, and what you're doing in your marketing makes a difference. So you might need to make a change there. And so we talked about that. We talked about maybe needing to make a change in the music ministry or the services. Are they too short? Are they too long? Does your music ministry sound excellent, or do we need to make some improvements or make some changes and some adjustments? This is the time to begin to work on those things right now. And finally, I want to talk to you about the structure of your church. You need to make sure that your church is structured for success. We cannot just give people titles to make them feel important. And let's just be honest, some of us have given people titles so they'll stick around. Let's just be real. Let's just be real. Sometimes we have made people have titles in our churches because it makes them more connected to the church. But if their heart is not there, they are not helping that church grow. I don't care how much money they tithe. I don't care how often they come. We need their heart to be in the church and in the body of Christ in order for them to help make an impact on the world. And so some of us have given titles to people who did not deserve it. And so we have people in the pulpit who can't pray, who can't preach. Every minister of the gospel doesn't have to be a preacher, but every minister of the gospel does have to be a teacher. They have to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And I've seen some of y'all ministers get up here on these online services. And you know what? A lot of these people are probably not called for this. And we have let them be up here and given them titles so that they'll stick around, or it makes us feel important to have people around us who have some sort of rank in the church. We've got to get beyond that. We've got to make some changes. It's time now to look at the structure of our church. Does your church really need two lead pastors, or do they need one lead pastor? Do they need three lead pastors? Do they need a support role added in there? Do you need an executive pastor? Do you need an assistant pastor? You need to begin to look at these things right now and make those changes and adjustments, because when we come back from this pandemic, for those of you who are still out and only doing online services, there needs to be a structure in place, a foundation laid, so that this can be more successful than it's ever been. If you prepare for what God is about to do with the church, then you will see growth in your church. Let me put it out there. Let me speak it. Let me just put this on the airways right now. If you prepare for what God is doing in your church and what he is going to do in the body of Christ, if the foundation is laid, then God will increase the church. God will make changes in the church that will add people to the church and make them a part of the body of Christ and disciples of him. But you have to be ready. If you're not going to be ready in this post-pandemic church, then you're going to find it harder than it's ever been to pastor and to lead in these churches. We need people who are mentally prepared, who are spiritually prepared. We should be praying. We should be seeking the Lord. We should be fasting. We should be thinking about how we're going to do this new thing that God is going to allow us to do in the post-pandemic church. And we need to be preparing. We need to get ready. And the time is now. Truthfully, it's a little late, because by the summer, I'm assuming that we're going to be back in these buildings. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, God. I want to go back to church so bad. I am sick of this online stuff. But whenever we go back, whether it's the summer or the fall or even next year, God forbid, whenever we go back, there needs to be a new foundation laid. There needs to be some focus on new things and great things that we can do in our churches to make it more exciting and to give people something different, something fresh, and something new. Behold, he is doing a new thing. And do you not know it? Did you already return back to your services and it's the exact same way it was beforehand? What changes do you need to make? And listen, if you're already back in service, you can still make some changes. It's time to pull your team together and say, hey, where are we stale? That's what I want you to ask yourself as a church leader, as a pastor, whether you are the praise and worship leader or you are the head usher or you are the senior pastor. I want you to sit down with your team. I want you to get on the Zoom call if you're not in person. And I want you to say, hey, let's have honest conversation. Where are we stale? And if you begin to ask people to look at the church and see what needs to be changed, then we can make some changes that are going to make the church, that is going to make the church amazing more than it already is. And we want to see the church go to an amazing place, because I believe the post-pandemic church is going to be one of the most amazing churches in history. We just got to prepare for it. Hey, this is D. Brandon Campbell. Thank you so much for listening to the Post-Pandemic Church Podcast. I'm so excited to have you a part of this podcast. If you need to reach out to me, please do so at christianpreneurco@gmail.com. That's christianpreneurco@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day. Thanks so much for listening to the Post-Pandemic Church Podcast with your host, D. Brandon Campbell. You can reach out to us at christianpreneurco@gmail.com. That's christianpreneurco@gmail.com. Or you can hit us up on our brand new website, christianpreneurco.com. That's christianpreneurco.com.